The CIA understood from early on that human intelligence, information provided by an informer, was vital. Yet penetrating a religiously motivated terrorist group that practices a high level of compartmentalization, limiting information to the smallest possible group of those with a need to know, was nothing like the kind of work the CIA was accustomed to. For decades, the agency had acquired spies using the customary tools of the trade: money, ideological disaffection, and the exploitation of personal problems, such as professional frustration. Al-Qaeda operatives were not going to show up at diplomatic receptions, and they were likely to be extraordinarily wary of outsiders. They would seldom be tempted by money. It is not something those focused on the hereafter think about much, and many had undergone considerable hardship that resulted at least partly from their shared hatred of America. During John Deutsch's tenure, the CIA had instituted rules requiring more scrutiny of unsavory sources, individuals who had committed serious criminal acts and human rights abuses, before they could be hired as assets. The experience of having Latin American death squad members on the U.S. payroll led the agency to insist that the intelligence value of such individuals be weighed carefully. But terrorism by now was at the very top of the agency's collection priorities, so those rules were waived for sources who could provide actionable intelligence. As far as the White House knew, no terrorism-related source had been rejected because of an unsavory background. Still, there was not much joy at Langley. As Israeli intelligence has found in dealing with the operatives of Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, getting someone inside a religiously driven group seemed impossible.